The Business Bunker.
Welcome to the Business Bunker show on kentbusinessradio.co.uk on this Tuesday, July the 21st. You are listening to me, Paul Andrews, and the stonkingly gorgeous Jill Serkin.
Hello, Mr. Andrews.
Hello, Broad.
Well, howdy.
Where have you been? Have you been away?
Well, can't you see my hair?
I can see your hair.
Well, it's the Manhattan blow-up.
Is it?
Or blow-off, I'm not quite sure. The blow-up, I think it was called.
Is it really?
Yeah. It's a Manhattan one, you know, not just any blow.
Okay.
Dry.
I could have played Manhattan Transfer for you.
Well, you should have done. I mean, my whole Scoff and Quaff Superior show was completely themed with American songs.
No, really?
Yeah.
Why would that be then, Jules?
Well,
is that because you haven't stopped talking about it for the last hour and a half?
Well, my jet lag is terrible.
Yeah, absolutely.
For me, you see, it's sort of just getting up. Now, look, I've got some goodies from Nurse Liz,
who's
our listener in
Maryland.
Yeah, but she doesn't say Maryland.
Maryland.
I had whole conversations with Nurse Liz, who was lovely, and we had cocktails and things and all sorts of teriyaki.
I saw all the pictures here.
Yeah, so we went to the rooftop and gorgeous things and cocktails everywhere. I had a mimosa.
Mm.
She kept talking about Marilyn. I thought she had a Marilyn Monroe sort of fetish.
Mm.
Marilyn this, Marilyn that. And then I said, what is this Marilyn that you're going on about? Is it Marilyn Monroe? She said, no, where I live. I said, oh, Maryland.
Yeah.
They said, Marilyn.
Yeah. Well, she's American. She don't talk like you. You're from Essex.
Well, we had terrible times with language.
Yeah, exactly.
I tried
Martin got it in one. Yeah. Tally.
I tried.
Well, Tally's gran. Yeah, I mean, let's not get carried away. Yeah.
I tried to order an egg. Okay.
Did you?
Yeah. Now, she did the sensible thing. She had an omelette.
Right.
I wanted a fried egg because I had a little bit of a hangover.
Sunny side up and all
yeah.
that.
Yeah. All right. It went on for hours and I was going, well, I like
easy
it.
Easy over.
Cooked at the bottom and dippy at the top.
Easy over.
This waiter was aghast. He didn't understand one thing I said.
He wanted it easy over.
I didn't know. Nurse Liz didn't know. She kept trying. She kept saying easy over and over easy and sunny side up and all sorts. Anyway, in the end, after about 10 minutes, I had a Bucks Fizz, or they don't call it that, they call it mimosa. And I said, I'll have what she's having, the omelette. Just gave up. But she sent you some presents. Do you want them?
Yeah, go on.
Okay, so lovely bag, first of all, which I might pilfer, I might give to you. I don't know how that got in there. That's my swimming hat. Sorry.
Okay.
You can't
well, that's useful.
That. Okay, so she sent you a lovely magazine, which is for both of us, I think, to read, and it's called The Business of Made in the USA.
Cool.
That's your first
Thank
present.
You, Liz.
And then she sent me some, oh, they're for me, gluten-free crackers. that's all about me. And now...
Me, yeah.
She's been listening to the show for quite a while,
you
know. And she thinks you're a little bit stressy, so catch that. So that's when
It's a stress baseball.
When I annoy you. Yeah. She said, when I annoy you.
Which is every 30 seconds or so.
You can play with that. There's a tissue. I think that's mine. An old tissue. Sorry about that.
Used.
Popped in, yeah. Now, she gave me this to read. Now, what's she saying, Paul Andrews?
Does someone at work treat you badly? they do. Thanks, Liz.
No, it's for me.
Oh, is it?
Yes.
Oh, right.
Yes, for
me. Okay, but you work on your own.
How to deal with you.
Really?
Yeah.
What chapter are you on so far?
Well, I didn't have time to read in Manhattan. Did I tell you I was in Manhattan?
Were you in Manhattan? Yeah. Blimey.
I also went to the Bronx.
Did you?
And you know our detectives in today? I've got some great things about NYPD.
Have you?
Police.
I saw your escort to JFK on the way back. I saw that they rounded you up and made sure you actually left the country.
Do you know, there was actually Barack Obama was there and... there was a big protest about the number of black people shot by police.
Yeah.
Where we were in Manhattan, and there were just hordes and hordes of police, obviously.
Mm.
It was, from what I saw, it was a very calm demonstration. But they had the pictures of the black people who had been killed, so it was pretty poignant. But that's why there were all these NYPD police everywhere. And quite a lot of black police as well. One thing I noticed that these detectives here might be interested, the New York police are quite short. They obviously don't have the height thing.
Nor do we anymore.
No, but we used to.
Yeah, 100 years ago.
No, but they're noticeably short, all of them. So I don't know why that is. Maybe you have to be short to be a policeman.
You know you're old when the police look short and young. Everybody knows that. I mean, look at him. He's not exactly... you know, the Jolly Green Giant, is he?
Him?
No,
being
Ken.
Ken,
sorry,
shall
Ken.
Shall we introduce our lovely guest?
Well, in a minute, yeah.
Well, hi, Paul.
Hello, Ken.
Yeah, when I joined in 67,
yeah.
It was 5'8½".
Really?
And I was only 5'8". And I had to really work hard with this guy.
You blagged your way in, didn't you?
I did blag my way in on that. So shortness has got nothing to do. It's about personality, good looks,
exactly.
Diplomatic skills and all that sort of thing.
So he was in straight away, whereas you wouldn't stand a chance, Jules.
No, but I'm 5'11½".
Okay, we'll be a policeman then.
Now,
right.
So Ken Monckton, and then we've also got Martin Henniker. Am I saying that right?
Yeah, yeah.
Yes, you are, Martin. Martin Henniker.
Then where do you two hail from?
Well, originally I come from London, then I lived at Dover till I was 19, and then joined the Kent Police, and I now live at Herne Bay.
Fabulous, near my friend Ken Lloyd. And then we also have next to him, listener, Sam Edwards. Edwards with an ES, very posh, from We Love Kent. And the Twitter is We Heart Kent, so you can follow him.
Thank you for that.
And who might our sponsor be?
Oh, I thought you were never going to ask. Yeah. Thank you for that, Jules. Our sponsor today are the lovely folks at Rift Accounting. Thank you so much for sponsoring us. And I've got a couple of pieces of news from Rift that we're going to cover in just a second. I'll tell you what, we'll go with it now. You can go with it now.
Right, I'll put my wine glass down. That's
I would.
Lovely Gusbourne sparkling that's been sent in for me.
And a bowl of cereal.
And a lovely bowl
of... And a gluten-free pancakes. And a easy over egg. And a bowl of beetroot. And a snack bar.
Hang on, this is Riverford Organic beetroot.
Yeah, no, it's okay, because this is all just a pre-snack, because she's missing lunch. Yeah, go on.
Post scoff and quaff. Now, Rift Accounting, the lovely people from there, have been asking the right questions. And they're saying, suppose you just started out and could use a little hand-holding. An accountancy practice that specialises in multinationals is no use to you, they say. So it's worth going into this knowing exactly which boxes need ticking. And here are some points to think over. Why do you want an accountant? Do you want the accountant to do everything for you or just to check you've got it right yourself? And are you confident with the basics but need help in specialised areas? And what if your needs change as your business grows? These questions will get you the right service at the right price. And does the accountant know your market or industry sector well and ideally specialise in it? That's a very good point, isn't it, Paul?
It is.
And your accountant really needs to understand how your business ticks, say Rift, and the regulations that affect it. And they should also be able to tell you what you need to do and when without prompting. Which services do they offer? Never pay for services you won't use or miss out on ones you need. Somebody's shuffling. Oh, I think it's Naughty Martin. He's shuffling papers. You can never stop detectives, can you, shuffling?
Shuffling papers?
They're papers.
No, they're probably winding themselves up. They go, we're going to have to sort this woman out at some point fairly soon.
The handcuffs are coming out.
Yeah, I did ask.
You may just want help with taxation.
You just need want help.
Or someone to act as your agent with HMRC. What does that stand for? We ask.
Her Majesty. HMRC.
Yeah.
HMRC?
Yeah, Her Majesty's.
Revenue and Customs. Her Majesty's Revenue and Customs. The tax man.
I thought it might be the Queen's Garden Party.
I suppose you've never filled in a tax return, have you?
No, my new husband does it all for me.
Right, okay.
And very well, might I say.
Right.
You shouldn't need to know the jargon because the right accountant will always understand your needs and explain things carefully. What fees will be charged and how does the pricing work? I will give him all my receipts in a shoebox.
Yep.
Accountants love that.
Mm-hmm.
What fees will be charged and how does the pricing work? Ask questions now, they say, to avoid nasty surprises later. Hourly rates can make it hard to get a definitive answer before the work is done. Get a ballpark figure of what you can expect to pay. Do you think you will get on with them personally? That's a good one.
Mm-hmm.
You and your accountant don't need to go out and fight crime together, but you do need professional trust and good communication. Remember, you'll be relying on each other for accurate, timely information and trusting each other with big decisions. Have you heard good things about their reputation? So a personal recommendation can be worth its weight in gold, but do your own research too. And other things to bear in mind, say Rift, when choosing an accountant. If you're just setting up, choose an accountant before you start trading to help get the structure of your business right from the outset. A decent accountant will help you with your business plan as well as your tax planning. Don't start looking for an accountant 2 days before the tax return deadline. So wise words there from the lovely Rift Accounting.
Yeah, fantastic. Do have a look at their website, riftaccounting.com, .co.uk. And there's a blog on there, and there are lots and lots of very interesting blogs and free downloadable resources if you're starting a business or wanting to know about VAT or any business-related thing. They have a resource on there for you. It's all downloadable free. Do go to their website and have a look. And I've got a little piece here about Rift as well. Rift Group pushes the boat out for rowers on an Atlantic challenge. The Rift Group has announced it's backing two Kent men's epic 3,000-mile Atlantic rowing challenge, joining the growing list of sponsors for the £250,000 charity fundraising voyage. Bradley Post, Rift's group commercial director, said, "It's very exciting for us to see the actual boat that they will sail and meet the rowers. It made us feel really as part of what's going on, and we understood the super effort that's being put into this." Dan Parsons, a former Simon Langton boys' school Canterbury.
Great school.
And Ollie Clark, an ex St Edmunds school Canterbury boy and a current member of the armed forces, expect to face the raging seas, howling winds and sharks on the Atlantic Challenge. The pair, who teamed up at Loughborough University, have been training hard as they aim to win the race and break the world record for a pair's boat crossing of the Atlantic. They are raising money for the Army Benevolent Fund, the Soldiers' Charity, and Rift's chosen charity over 10 years, as well as for Prostate Cancer UK. Rift Group makes a donation to the Army Benevolent Fund for every successful MOD tax return claim made, and has so far donated over £68,000 to the charity in 2 years it's been working with the Ministry of Defence sector. Bradley Post said, "We're very proud to be supporting the Boys Atlantic Challenge. It's a fantastic effort from a Kent-based duo and a logical extension of our support for the charity. The team's cross-Atlantic bid has even captured the attention of entrepreneur adventurer Richard Branson, who has pledged £10,000 to Prostate Cancer UK in support of the mission." For more details about the Atlantic Challenge, you can go to their website, which is www.atlantic-row.com. Or to contact the rowers, you can follow them on the Twitter, and their Twitter handle is RowAtlantic2015. That's RowAtlantic2015, or you can email them at info@atlantic-row.com. So do give the boys a support, and well done to Rift for all the support and all the money they've raised for the Army Benevolent Fund and for Prostate Cancer UK.
Beautifully read.
Thank you all. We have a bazillion tweets. We'd always like to hear from you, the businesses of Kent, and you can get in touch with us in all the normal ways. You can ring us on 01 303 874 998. That's 01 303 874 998. You can email me at bunker@kentbusinessradio.co.uk. But by far and away, the easiest way to interact with us live on air is to tweet me at VanillaWeb. We already have a few million tweets, and we will be reading those out as we go through the show. And I'm going to start with one. We've had a tweet from RAP in Office Interiors. RAP Office on the Twitter, the Maidstone based firm of fit out specialists. So big welcome to Julie, Emily and the team at RAP Office. Thank you for tweeting. Cars from Kent, hi Vanilla Web and shout out please to carsfromkent.com, the place to buy and sell your cars locally. Thank you for that. The gorgeous, absolutely stunningly gorgeous Rebecca Nutt from Serenity Becker has
she's
tweeted.
She's got an open evening, you know.
Has she?
Yeah,
do you know when
she
it
say
is?
When?
No, she hasn't said when.
It's either...
She just says, let's have a big party, is what she says.
It's tonight or tomorrow night. She usually tries and has it when I'm exhausted after a hole down the radio.
I don't blame her.
Could be tonight, could be tomorrow. I'll let you know in a minute.
Okay, we've had a tweet also from the lovely Andrea Childs at Click Business Solutions up there in the West Midlands. Hello, Andrea.
Hello.
I did send her a photo earlier. She did suggest that we should do a bit of pre-show exercise. So I sent her a photo of you exercising.
What exercise was that?
You'll have to look it up.
Was it this one?
No, it was a photo of you in a leotard exercising. It looked like you anyway.
Really?
Yeah. Fairly sure it was you.
What about your Zumba one?
No, I didn't send her that.
Sad thing is, you see, I've swiped all the pictures of you off my phone to go to... Did I tell you I went to Manhattan?
Did you?
Yeah.
No, I didn't know that.
So I had to clear my phone, and I've lost all my Zoom. They're all on my computer. I can pop them back.
No, I wouldn't. Don't worry about it.
No, I'll send her one.
No, you don't need them.
No, I need to.
No, don't worry.
I must.
Fruit Bowl Media have tweeted.
Oh, what are they saying?
Hello, Jules Serkin and Vanilla Weber. Shout out, please. We make brilliant, cost-effective websites.
They do.
Fruitbowlmedia.com.
Are they welcoming me back from Manhattan, perhaps?
No.
Nothing about my...
I don't think they knew you were in Manhattan.
Nothing about my blow-off?
No, they didn't mention the blow-off at all.
I don't think it is a blow-off.
I don't,
what did I call it when I first came in this morning?
I can't repeat that on air. We'd be shot down. AK Pet Services, lovely Adrian.
Oh, I love him.
Don't forget, I'm tuned in to the Business Bunker radio show. Have a listen to Paul and Jules for all the latest business news. Thank you, Adrian. Thank you for tweeting. We've got loads more tweets. We will read them through the rest of the show.
Tell you what, it's very stonkingly hot in here, isn't it?
It is. It's really hot. I'm going to read one more tweet from Butterfly Marketing. On the Twitter, they're Butterfly MKT, or one word, Butterfly Marketing, hi Vanilla Web. Could we have a shout out, please, for me at Play Mountain UK, which is a Twitter handle, Play Mountain UK. We're running into, Tap Into the Power of Video Workshop. That's they're running a Tap Into the Power of Video Workshop on the 4th of August in Maidstone, and you can find the tickets on Eventbrite. The easiest thing to do is to follow Play Mountain UK or Butterfly MKT, Butterfly Marketing, on the Twitter, and find out about Tap Into the Power of Video Workshop taking place on the 4th of August. Do you know what we're going to do now?
Some tunage.
I'm going to play some tunage.
Is it something to do with our guests?
It could quite well be.
A little bit of Elvis Costello.
It could be Elvis.
Could it be Watching the Detectives?
It could be Watching the Detectives.
Do you think we...
Do you think that's really cheesy?
Well, I think poor Sam's going to be upset now.
You wait until I hear what you've got for Sam.
Really?
Oh, yeah, I've got something a Lulu good. For Sam. Don't you worry.
We love...
Rift Accounting. safety in numbers. Riftaccounting.com.
Paul Andrews and the Kent Business Bunker on Channel Radio.
Welcome back to the Business Bunker Show on KentBusinessRadio.co.uk on Tuesday the 21st of July. You're listening to me, Paul Andrews, and the stonkingly annoying Jules Serkin.
New jingles, I see, while I've been
I have
away.
A new jingle, yes. And everyone's going to have a new jingle shortly. We've been doing loads of new jingles.
I've always liked your jingles.
Do you like my jingles?
Yeah, always have done.
Good. I'm glad.
It's my one weakness.
It's your one weakness, is it? All right. Okay. And the four bottles of Prosecco for breakfast is not a weakness.
No, not at all.
Okay, good.
It keeps your throat, you know.
Lubricated.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. All right, fine. Thank you for that. Do you know what? It's an absolute pleasure to welcome, for the first time, onto the Business Bunker Show, our first two guests, Mr. Martin Henniker and Mr. Ken Monkton. Gentlemen, good afternoon. Welcome to the Business Bunker Show.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
It's an absolute pleasure to meet you both. Why don't we kick off by you taking it in turns to tell each of us a little bit about your backgrounds first. As the listeners will have worked out from my cheesy record, both of you have a background in police work.
Correct.
So why don't we start there and then we'll move on from there. So tell us a little bit about your backgrounds and then we'll talk about what you're doing these days.
Well, I'm Ken Monkton, and thanks very much for having us here, Paul.
Absolute pleasure.
I've got history with Kent Police since 1967.
Blimey.
Retired as a superintendent, area commander back in 99 and got a job with what was then called the Police Authority as a project manager. And during that time, became apparent to me that I got certain skills that I could deliver what I thought was good training and project management. And from that, I formed a little company called Crime and Public Safety Consultants Limited, delivering project management, delivering training, teamed up with Martin, who's got some expertise in investigation that you'll hear about in a moment. Yeah. And from there, we got involved in delivering training. And it's a wide spectrum of training that we can deliver. It's not just about policing. Any organisation that requires to understand facts, the real facts, we believe we can provide a good service, and that's for what we've been doing.
Okay, cool. Let's hear from Martin, and then we'll go on and discuss what it is you're up to these days.
Good afternoon, everyone. My name's Martin Henniker. I'm a retired detective superintendent, retired as head of serious and organised crime for Kent Police. Got a lot of experience in murder investigation and serious and organised crime.
So watch it, Jules.
Murder.
He knows how to do it and get away with it. Yeah, we got spades and everything.
This is very exciting because, you know, my young Shay, who's 19, is studying criminology and sociology and wants to be a detective.
Oh, there you are.
I think it's all those afternoons we used to watch Touch of Frost.
Yeah.
It's not like that, is it, boys?
Yeah, that's a good feeling, actually, because when I did retire, I run the accreditation, or was part of the team that run the accreditation program for detectives for Kent Police, and also got involved with student police officers in training the management of investigations, the management of victims and witnesses, and also the management of suspects.
Right.
Obviously, that's my specialist subject, and as Ken said, that can be translated into any organisation that's got an investigative investigative model,
yeah.
Or it also can assist public and private investigations for internal and external investigations.
Well, I mean, I'm sure we'll discuss this in a minute, but we want to talk about the interesting stuff first, obviously. But you're absolutely right. I mean, because what you're telling me here is you basically have techniques for interviewing people and interviewing them effectively and efficiently.
That's correct. It's an old saying, but obviously witnesses are a lifeblood of any investigation, so it's very important that when you interview a witness, first of all, you know everything about them, you prepare yourself properly, and you achieve the best evidence from that particular person.
Mm.
So it's very important.
I know I'm kind of jumping ahead of myself here, but I kind of thought about this while you were talking about it. There's a lot of data about people's evidence not being quite what it's cracked up to be. You know, we don't always notice things. There's loads of things. There's a chap, Richard Wiseman, who's professor of psychology at Warwick University, that did a lot of stuff on this, where he had something going on in front of a lot of people, and part way through of what was going on, which was a very frenetic sense of activities, a gorilla ran across the stage and ran back, and virtually nobody noticed the gorilla. Yeah, and I'm sure you've seen other things like that. So when you're interviewing witnesses and stuff, I'm assuming you have to be very careful that you don't plant information in their head accidentally that they don't have, if you see what I mean.
Yeah, that's very important. And the model that we use is an acronym called PEACE. Stands for preparation and planning.
Right.
Engage and explain is where you're coming from. So doing the initial engage and explain, it's very important that you tell people not to make things up, tell the truth, only what they saw. Obviously, you've got to look for any collaboration they may have had with other witnesses and make sure that what you get down is entirely the truth. Engage and explain is the E part of PEACE, and then you go on to the account itself. And you ask the right questions, open questions, what we call TED questions. Tell me, explain to me, describe to me what happened. Let that person do all the talking to start with. And then when you do need to go into the nitty gritty, that's when you start asking the how, when, why, etc. And then you move into the closure, making sure that the witness knows what's going to happen next is important.
Right,
a lot of people are frightened to attend court, but there's a lot of help out there.
Absolutely.
There's a lot of charity organisations that help people when they have to attend court as witnesses.
Right.
And then obviously the last part is making sure that whatever the witness has told you, that you have a good look at and make sure that you cover all the lines of inquiry that have come out from that particular interview.
Cool. Ken, you wanted to jump in there?
Yeah, I just thought it might help to explain how people can get these wrong perceptions.
Yeah.
In one course that we delivered for trading standards, we had a little scam where we asked someone to come in, unannounced to the people that we were training, to come in and berate me for where I parked, and got quite rude. But this was all set up, and everybody could see this, and then they left. And some while later, say half an hour later, we would ask the people to describe that person. And it was unbelievable how the only thing they were consistent on was the sex of the person. The voice, the description, everything else differed. Some were very good, but some were quite odd. So it's really important to run through all those things that Martin said and make sure at the end you've got all that. But don't alter what they say, because that's what they believed. And sometimes with best intentions, sometimes with no good intention at all, people can get this wrong, put the wrong thing down, and it confounds the whole case.
Absolutely.
When we do this training, we make sure that they understand that.
Yeah.
And it can apply to any organisation. It doesn't necessarily have to be criminal, it can be civil, and it can simply be a company that wants to understand where things went wrong with particular people.
It's fascinating. And I know a little bit about some of not as much as you guys, obviously, but you know, I've read a little bit about some of these things. And one of the problems is the human brain is a great pattern filler inner. It sees a sequence of things that are a bit patchy, and the brain will fill it in. And it will fill it in based on stereotypes, your view of the world or whatever. And, you know, people aren't deliberately lying. That it's just what they thought they witnessed based on their own perceptions, not on actually what happened right in front of their eyes. And there's loads of experiments that kind of show that.
And when Martin mentioned those TED questions, tell me, explain to me, describe to me, those are the things. You describe to me what you saw. You explain what you saw.
Yeah.
And that can minimise that kind of thing, and tell them, don't be frightened if you got it wrong.
Yeah.
It's what you believe.
And I would imagine, you're going to tell us whether I'm right or wrong here, that using that technique, people will start to think to themselves, well, actually, did I see that? Because I can't really explain it. Yeah, and I think it probably that technique helps them to sort out what they know versus what they think they know.
Yeah, that's absolutely right.
This is Martin now.
Yeah. There's no reason why you can't challenge a witness as well. Mm. So you challenge if you think that they're not quite telling the truth. There's no reason why you can't do that.
Yeah.
But obviously the best way of doing that is get them to is the engage and explain thing. So you actually settle them down with rapport and then you actually explain what the interview is all about.
Yeah.
And normally you go in there with objectives. So you will tell them what your objectives are before the interview starts. Mm. That puts the interview or the interviewer at rest and they know exactly what they should be telling you and what the interview is all about.
Absolutely. Now, we're kind of focusing on the sexy end of this, which is the criminal investigations. You know, I put it to you that as on or about the 4th of the month that you, with a spade, you know, did Corporal Plum in a garage or whatever. Yeah. But of course, what you're telling me is the techniques that you teach and the interview skills that you teach and the training that you do is applicable across a whole range of different scenarios and in different organisations and for different reasons. And quite often a lot of that isn't as antagonistic. So you're not actually interviewing a suspected crime perpetrator.
Right.
You're interviewing a customer service clerk or something.
Yeah, I think customer service is right. I mean, when we get involved with an organisation, the first thing is, what do they want?
Yeah.
And so it's very critical to us that the organisation explains what they want and then we customise what we deliver to their needs.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. And as you say, it varies across the board.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
It's very much about understanding the needs of the organisation, as Martin has said, and then gearing the investigation to the outcome that they that require. If it's out-and-out criminality, you're stuck. But where it's maybe like for trading standards, where they require the business to behave as they need to in law and in fairness to the consumer. Mm. So if someone simply got it wrong, let's tell them they got it wrong.
Yeah.
And the law allows for this, recent legislation changes, and when you gear the interview, you gear your action to meet that end.
It's kind of almost remedial as an interview.
Absolutely, it's about resolving it in the best interest of the company and critically for the consumer.
Absolutely, cool. I mean, and the techniques that you use, though, presumably you could use those in an interview scenario where you're just interviewing potential members of staff.
Yeah, I mean, that's absolutely right. I mean, the techniques we use are very good for interviewing staff members, people that are making complaints, making sure for any customer service, in fact. I mean, it doesn't have to be suspects that you interview. It can be used right across, as I said, private and public sector.
Absolutely.
Right across the board. And as you say, the techniques translate into anything, really.
Yeah. Now, it's really important, and more so than ever in business now. As some of you will know, I run Jobs in Kent, which is a recruitment portal, and we are involved in the employment market. And without being rude to any specific people, interviewing skills to me seem to be getting worse and worse rather than better and better. It is difficult, you know, it's difficult to check on people's experiences and stuff like that, and a lot of people just take it at face value. I do it myself, you know, I mean, I've hired people and then gone, what they told me in an interview turned out to be a complete load of old nonsense, you know, they don't have any of the experience they claim they had and da-da-da-da-da. So, for all of us it happens, and I think, as you were intimating as well, Martin, there are a number of interview scenarios that you might go through in a business, you know, a member of staff has made a complaint, or an issue has arisen where there is a dispute between various members of staff, and you have to handle that.
Yeah.
And you have to take kind of witness statements, if you like, in your parlance. But, you know, you have to get both sides of the story and try and balance what's going on.
I think, can I just say, I mean, I can give you an example where I can't mention names, obviously, because it is a real case that happened a few years ago. But there was an incident where a patient made a complaint against a particular doctor.
Mm.
And was interviewed internally by another doctor who obviously had no training in terms of interviewing and asked a hell of a lot of leading questions.
Right.
And
give us an example of a leading question and an unleading. Tell us the difference.
Right, your dress is red, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Okay, so what should you say? What colour is your dress?
Well, you should ask, exactly.
Or is it a dress, even?
Yeah.
So when you're asking someone, you wouldn't say, was that dress red?
Right, you don't put it into your thought.
Yeah.
Which is quite something to, because it does pop out, doesn't it? So you're so trained that it just doesn't happen there.
Yeah. That's correct, yes. Yeah. So that particular case caused a lot of problems at court.
Right.
And in fact, it ended up with Kent Police actually holding a seminar in relation to, it was attended by people from the hospital trust right across the board, which was aimed at fixing that particular problem and teaching them various questioning styles.
Mm.
Do you get involved, gentlemen, with going into school, such as, you know, my son at uni learning about criminology and that? Do you lecture or get involved with any of that?
Not so far, but part of the reason for coming here is if someone said to us, look, come and have a look at the circumstances that you've just described, the first thing that we would do is say, well, I need to speak to that person, find out what they want, find out what they see are the issues for them, and see where we can deal with that, and I'm sure we could. Because, as I say, the models are the same, whether it's criminal, civil, or whether it's simply someone needed to understand some facts, needed to understand some techniques where you're open, where you're asking open question, you're gathering facts. Once you've done that, then there might well be a little bit from that you think, well, like for instance, this red dress, having asked that and someone said, oh, that was a blue dress, when they said, well, actually, there are some people that said it was a red dress. How have you got to it? That's when you can come down and challenge a little bit more.
And of course, someone could be colourblind.
All sorts of things. You'll miss that if you ask the question, was the dress red? If you put that in their mind, then you just and get a yes or no, and that's hopeless.
That could presumably just be thrown out of court because you've done that.
Well, on its own, probably not, but it certainly wouldn't add to the quality of the evidence. Much better if someone says, well, I'll explain to you what I believe it was. That's much better.
Yeah.
I mean, that's where, obviously, preparation and planning comes
into. This is Martin.
Absolutely.
The best statements are taken, really, when you've done your preparation first. There's no good going into speaking to a witness and putting pen to paper straight away. The idea is to understand that person. And as Jules said, I mean, you need to know if there are any credibility issues. And if there are colour blindness, then you need to know that before you start.
Absolutely, No, absolutely. I'm fascinated by this whole process, just from a day-to-day kind of process. There are so many things that we do in business that involve questioning and interviewing and eliciting information and data, all kinds of things. I mean, I can think of so many applications for this, even just marketing. You know, you have things like focus groups where you sit with a group of people. If you ask the wrong questions, you get the wrong answers. It drives me nuts. Loads of people use SurveyMonkey. I don't know if you've come across that. It's a free tool that you can use to do mini surveys. And I get dozens of them every week. People say, would you do this survey? Would you do this survey? And the one thing that drives me nuts is they structure the questions wrong. The questions are always leading questions. You know, do you prefer shredded wheat or cornflakes? No, Cocoa Pops. You know, and they go, no, you must answer one or the other. But I hate both. You know, the quality of what you're going to get back from the way you've asked this question is less than worthless because you've just asked the wrong question, basically. And I see that so often. So this ability to formulate questions, formulate interviews, structure what it is you're trying to do, and do it properly, I think is crucially important, more now than ever it's been, because we spend so much time dealing with other people in the world of work and trying to elicit information amongst information overload. We were talking before we came on the show about social media and about Twitter and about the marketing power of the various tools. One of the downsides of all that is the noise. There is 400 million people on Twitter all saying stuff, and it's how you sort through all that and pick the wheat from the chaff. So I'm loving the kind of things that you guys are doing, because it's about a structure. It's about thinking about how you organise your questions and what it is you're trying to elicit and why you're trying to elicit it. And I think that's crucially important, because so many people do that so badly.
Yeah, absolutely. It's about achieving the best evidence, making sure you plan it and you cover all your objectives.
Yeah, absolutely. So with your business now, you're doing classroom-based training, as it were, or workshop-based training and you're training with lots of organisations, lots of different organisations. At the moment, I'm making an assumption here that what you do is you go into a business or you go into an organisation or you go into a company and you stage a workshop for them. Is that how it works? Or do you do public workshops where members of the public can all come along and find out a bit about this?
It's Ken here. We haven't done any of the latter, Paul. Basically, I have to say that the work that we've got has all come word of mouth. So some of the things you've suggested and your kind offer to be here today is new to us, and we'll hopefully take some advantage from that.
Yeah.
So what we do at the moment is look at people's investigative need, what they need to achieve, then gear the course accordingly.
Yeah.
We don't go in there and say, this is the system, this is what you need, because that wouldn't be appropriate to everybody, so we gear it accordingly.
Yeah, sure.
At the moment, it's principally we're working for authorities, local authorities and public authorities.
And trading standards. And
trading standards in particular. But we believe that there is some value that we can provide elsewhere, and we're very happy to do so.
Cool.
I have to say, having just come back from Manhattan...
Have you?
The police presence in New York was there everywhere, absolutely everywhere. They must throw money, you know, the budget must be there. Every time, the sirens just go all the time, and every time, apparently, someone rings whatever the number is there. Is it
911.
Everything has to come. So they have ambulance, fire engine and police all come. And this is day and night, 24 hours. You can't sleep, you know, if you open your window, it's just so noisy. Big police presence. But on the whole, although we don't have that budget anymore, I still love the English bobbies and, you know, the training, because I found some of it a bit aggressive in the USA. What would you say to that, to what the changes you've seen?
Well, over the... I mean, people often say, because I joined in 1967, I often get questions about what was it like then?
Did you know Dixon and Doc Green personally? Yeah. That kind of thing.
Yeah. Can I whistle the tune? Well, because it was just different then. In fact, the pay then was a lot less pro rata than it is now.
Yeah. Mm.
But of course, the recent changes to police pay and conditions, the recent cuts at all public services and stuff, but that's the reality. You just got to get on with it.
Yeah.
I think more pertinent is where the police morale has dropped as a result of that. Now, people who have had their anticipated pension and pay cut and they've got to work a lot longer, they're not happy about that.
No. Yeah.
But when I was still working for Kent Police as a project manager up until 2011, and the people that I meet now, when something happens, if you're in the way when they're trying to get to it, that's bad news. You'll get knocked over.
Yeah.
So there's that keenness. There's that real want to get and deal with it. And there's also a lot of very sensible talk that you get when you're talking to them about how they deal with the public and all that. So I don't see it as a backward step. I think there's still a great deal, and I mean, it's still a great career for people, but it's different.
No, life moves on and life changes, but I think the ethos of people normally that join something like the police service have done it on, you know, out of a sense of duty, and when the proverbial hits the round thing, most people forget about all the other things that you mentioned, Ken, and just do the job.
What you've got to remember is that police officers are members of the public as well.
Yeah.
And in the training that I've delivered over the years, I've got nothing but admiration for the young men and women that come into the job.
Yeah.
As a vocation.
Yeah.
They wear the uniform and they wear it proudly. Mm. And I can assure you they do everything they can for the members of I can only talk about Kent Police, but what they do, they excel in it, and they do everything they can for the public of Kent.
Absolutely. Even the show off ones,
I think.
My nephew Rob is in Thames Valley Police, and he was one of the policemen that were regularly in Road Wars, if you ever saw that, the old Sky TV programme.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Rob was one of the members of that team for ages and ages and ages. Big star trip they're all on, playing up to the cameras. We could talk about this for ages, guys. Sadly, we're kind of running out of time. could we have a shout for your website so that people can find out, and your Twitter handle, so that people can follow you, find out about you, and do loads of, sorry to put you on the spot with that, but all of this actually is on the Kent Business Radio website anyway, so people can follow up. But just give us a shout for your website.
Well, our website is www.crimetrain.com. Fabulous. And on there is all the information that we do. But we're not limited to that.
Yeah.
The thing to do is to give us a call, give us a text, give us a tweet. I'll get back to you, and I'm positive we could design something if you need to understand facts.
Absolutely.
And you need to have those facts followed through. We can equip you for that.
Absolutely.
The tweet is at Ken Martin CPSC.
Okay. And that's Martin with a Y.
Martin with a Y, yeah.
Absolutely.
Okay. And did we say the website? This is crimetrain.com.
Yeah, absolutely. Cool. So do follow up. Do ask the guys. They're more than happy. You know, just send them a tweet, send them a text, email them, get in contact with them. If you want to ask them anything, I'm sure that they'll more than happily, try and handle that. And if you've got a specific application that they haven't really talked about, I'm sure they'd be more than pleased to talk to you about it. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Fantastic. Chaps, thank you so much for joining us on the Business Bunker Show. It's been a fascinating story that we've heard from you, and a real insight into something that we don't normally have much access to. Thank you. Do stay with us for the rest of the show. But for the moment, Martin Henniker and Ken Monckton, thank you very much.
My pleasure.
Thank you.
You can have some chocolate now you've finished. This is this was brought back from my new husband. He's written a book, and this is from Ghana. If you'd like to try some Ghanaian chocolate.
Thank you very much.
His book is Frontier Fun.
Is it?
Yes.
There's a little plug there, isn't there? There's always a little plug there with Jules,
Ghanaian chocolate.
I'll tell you what surprised me, Jules.
What?
Gavin. I'm surprised he hasn't been to New York recently to do a book launch or something.
Do you know, I was very proud of him because he was on telly and radio night and day, with no assistant, just doing the whole thing on his own.
Yeah.
And I was, getting up at 5-6 in the morning. And then, obviously, with jet lag last night, he was picked up this morning at 4, so I'm very proud of him.
Yeah, no, he's doing a fantastic job.
He's talking about Nigeria.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, and the book, Frontier Funds, to which Jules has referred, is a fascinating, fascinating book.
What chapter are you on?
I can't remember what chapter I'm on.
Is it by your bed still?
What?
The book, Frontier Funds.
Yeah.
You should remember what chapter.
Well, I don't look
perhaps
at the chapter numbers.
Perhaps you'll tweet me a picture when you're...
I don't look at the chapter numbers, I just read stuff.
Well, when you're in your little, wee willy winky gear, tweet me a picture of you reading and then you can show me. My umma is fascinating. My umma is very, very... I want to go there.
Your who?
My umma. Used to be Burma, darling.
Oh, right.
I think you know that, really. You're just being facetious.
Am I? Do you know, facetious is one of only two words in the English language with all the vowels in the correct order.
Really? That's astounding.
No, that's true.
Laura Burton Lawrence, who does that show on a Thursday,
the community show
with the lovely, handsome barrister Broker.
Yeah.
She's written in and she says, "Hi, Jules. With my Eden Valley Chamber of Commerce hat on, I'd love it if you could give us a shout out for our next networking event. It's on Thursday, the 30th of July, 6 to 8pm. It's at Go Vauxhall, Station Road, Edenbridge, T for Tiger, M for Norman 8, 6, H for Harry, N for Lion." The policeman here taught me that version. The event is free for businesses to attend and refreshments will be provided. Bookings must be made via Eventbrite, so go to, if you want to email them, networking@edenvalleyb2b.co.uk, and that's from Laura Burton Lawrence. And there is a Twitter which is at EV Chamber.
Cool. Thank you for that. We've had loads and loads and loads and loads of tweets. Very quickly, Fruitworks, Hey Vanilla Web, Jill Sukin, why not join our creative community? Hot Desks is available here in Canterbury. Go to our website, fruitworks.co, fruitworks.co, fruitworks.co.
You see, they've gone all American, haven't they? Yeah. Hey, that's American.
Ah, that's a kid's toy.
Would you like some water?
No. Lee Willis, Lee JW on the Twitter. Listening to the Business Bunker on KentBusinessRadio.co.uk with Vanilla Web and Jill Sukin. Ancorians Football Club Men's Veterans first training session tonight. Have you quite finished making a noise?
Pouring the water. You know when you go to the States, you get water with everything. As soon as you sit down, they want water.
The accent that you're
water.
Doing.
And that's yeah. really hard to say.
The accent that you're doing, yeah. Northern Ireland, isn't it?
Yeah. It's Ed Carls.
Belfast accent.
It's because of Martin.
Is that Fancy Smith?
It's Martin. It was
Bert Lynch, wasn't it? Zed Victor 1. He was the Irish one. Yeah.
It's because Ken and Martin, it reminded me, it used to be great, Zed Carls, didn't it?
Did it?
Especially when the Daleks used to come in.
Okay.
You can't cope with that now. You actually can't think of a quip back.
No, I can. I just, you know, I lost the will to live, to be honest. Lee Willis of Ancorians Football Club. Ancorians are a community football club over in Gillingham. They run teams for all kinds of boys and girls, men and women, disabled teams, special needs teams, deaf football, all kinds of things, all kinds of ages. But tonight, gentlemen, it's the vets' turn.
Vets.
Not people that assault animals for a living. Veterans.
Oh, would that be ideal for you? Because you are coming up for a big one, aren't you, in August?
I beg your pardon.
You're coming up for a big one in August.
Am I?
Talking of veterans.
Anyway, the veterans football team first training session is tonight over at Gillingham at the Ancorians Football Club. Thank you for that, Lee. The lovely Shirley Mansfield has tweeted, listening to the Business Bunker Radio today with Vanilla Webb, I wish I was there.
Oh, but she hasn't had the temperature, has she?
No, she hasn't. It wasn't quite as hot last week when Shirley stood in for Jules because Jules was away somewhere. I can't remember where she was.
Manhattan, darling.
Were you?
Did I not tell you?
No.
But you know, Chris Kinnett was very, very complimentary about Shirley.
Yes, so was everyone. We got millions of emails going, can't you keep her?
Fan club.
She's far better than the other one you normally have. I got hundreds and hundreds of emails. The kind of adjectives they were using, Jules, were calm, sensible,
really?
Yeah, interesting, funny.
She probably doesn't drink Osborne Spark.
She wasn't drunk by 1 o'clock, no, that is very true. That is very true.
Luckily, I've had lots of cereal.
Yeah, luckily. The South East Business Show have also tweeted, and they say, hello, Vanilla Webb and Jules Serkin, why not join us at our next show, September the 25th, at the Copthorne Hotel at Effingham Park, that's just outside Gatwick. Full details available at B2B, that's B2BSoutheast.com, that's the website, B2BSoutheast.com.
You know, we've had a tweet from Vincent Coyle, who's the Irish-born...
He's an actor.
He's a mate of mine, darling. He's one of my friends. Did I tell you when I was in Manhattan? he's in Game of Thrones, but more interestingly...
Oh, I didn't tell you about that, did I?
No.
About Stewie. No, my Stewie got asked for his autograph in Nando's in Ashford.
Nando's?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, we were in Nando's on Friday night, having a cheeky Nando's.
That was his birthday?
It wasn't. It was Saturday night. His birthday was on Friday.
Okay.
Yeah.
But he was still celebrating.
Yeah, he's been celebrating for a month.
Yeah.
We were in Nando's on Saturday night.
Yeah.
And the waitress kept hovering around our table. And I couldn't work it out at first. And then she walked over and eventually she said to Stu, can I have your autograph?
Really?
Yeah. And he said, what do you want me to sign? And she said, well, you're Jon Snow, aren't you? And he does look like Jon Snow, to be fair.
Isn't Jon Snow
his character in Game of Thrones, yeah.
No, I thought he was the newsreader.
No, not that Jon Snow. Jon Snow's a character in Game of Thrones.
Okay. I need to watch it then.
Yeah, anyway. And Stu said, what makes you think I'm Jon Snow? You know, apart from the fact that I look like a dead ringer for him. And she said, well, your phone. Why? And on his phone picture was him and Maisie Williams, who's the actress from it.
Wow.
Because Stu did a bums on seats job at the BAFTAs.
Right.
He was hired to fill in the seats while when the cameras are there.
That's
all the actors
cool job.
Go to the bar, so they have to fill up the seats. And he was sitting in Maisie's seat while she wasn't there, so he had a selfie taken with her.
Really?
It was just funny, yeah. It was funny how that all came together. We didn't get a free Nando's, though.
Vinnie Coyle, can I just go on?
Oh, yeah.
So, because he's Irish, he's an Irish-born actor, he's had an amazing story in his life, civil and human rights advocate, and his website is vinnycoyle.com, and he's got 27,000 followers, and he's listening into the Business Bunker show.
Oh, hi, Vinnie. Thanks for joining us.
He's my little friend.
He did retweet me earlier, thank you, which
well,
I did thank
somebody has
for.
To.
Yeah.
And then Anthony Jones, he's a new listener, isn't he? He's AJ Photo Info. He's in Dartford. He's got an exhibition, and he says, heard about Frontier Funds on Jules Serkin's Business Bunker show.
Go away.
Yes. And he also said he heard I was in Manhattan.
Really?
Yeah, he must be stalking us.
And he's not a friend of yours, then?
No,
I've never met him. Right, okay. Luke Phillips, who on the Twitter is Southeast Scribe. Vanilla Web, hi Paul, could you mention that Shadow Beast? My book is just 99p in the Kindle store until Friday. And he's given me a link here, which is smarturl.it.sbe. I think that's just a shortened link. So the book is called Shadow Beast. It's by Luke Phillips, and you can find it in a Kindle store, and you can purchase it for 99p.
And Kent Tweetup say that they have a hello, Vanilla Web and Jules. 30th of July, we're at Lenley's. Canterbury Free Business Networking. You can go to the kentbusinesstweetup.co.uk website. That's what I was telling the detectives about, the boys earlier. They can go to the Canterbury, and there's free parking as well.
Cool. We've had a tweet from another new listener, Anita, and she's Anita B. Hodges, all one word, Anita B. Hodges, Hodges spelled H-O-D-G-E-S, Anita B. Hodges on the Twitter, and she says, Vanilla Web, Business Bunker, my business is Family Business Place. We promote and support UK family firms. Cool.
That sounds interesting.
And you can follow them also on the Twitter at FB Place. So that's Anita Hodges, and she supports family businesses. And the lovely Claire Reeves, the voiceover artist and radio star, has tweeted. And you can follow Claire. Her Twitter handle is Claire On Air Live. Claire On Air Live. So you can do one more tweet, and then I think we might take a break and put the air conditioning on for a little while, because
okay.
It's getting a tad warm in here, isn't it, chaps?
I bet my mascara's under my chin, isn't it, boys?
Yeah. Oh, it's mascara, is it?
Yeah.
I wonder what that was.
Stubble. Digital over breakfast. It is at the Mercure Maidstone Great Danes Hotel, 8 to 10 a.m. I don't know when it is. Doesn't really
What's
say.
This?
The Digital Over Breakfast. Oh, Tuesday the 28th of July, sorry. And it's at the Great Danes Hotel, Mercury Maidstone, 8 to 10 a.m. Book your place by calling 01732 758 530.
Cool. We've had a couple of quick tweets I'm going to read out, and then we're going to have a break. JR Car Parts, Vanilla Web, Jill Sirkin. Hi, guys. We would love a cheeky shout-out, please. Supplying trade and public throughout the South with quality car parts and accessories. That's JR Car Parts. Do give them a follow. And the lovely Hilary Steele. Hi, Paul. Could you please shout out that this is the last week to nominate potential award winners for KETA 2015. KETA is the Kent Independent Traders Awards. You can go to the website ketaawards.co.uk, ketaawards.co.uk, and nominate someone for a business award. So please do that, and this is your last chance this week to do it. We've also had a tweet from YBC Southeast, that's Your Business Community _SEast on the Twitter. Hi Paul, could you please give a shout out for the Herne Bay Football Club? They are offering sponsorship and advertising opportunities. If you'd like to take some of that, you can call Andrew on 07747 114627. So if you'd like to sponsor the Herne Bay Football Club, you can do just that. We're going to play a bit of music now and have a short break, and we'll be back straight after.
I think we need to dive in a tub of ice.
Yeah.
Do you?
Paul Andrews with the Business Bunker.